Okay, so you know how like when you're online and you just click agree on those like terms and conditions without even reading them?
Oh, yeah, definitely guilty of that myself.
Well, today we're looking at a case that kind of shows why you might want to like actually take a second look next time.
For sure.
It's AT&T Mobility LLC versus Conception.
Okay.
And it all comes down to this, like, can you really sign away your right to sue?
That's a great question, and it's a fascinating case because it starts with something pretty small, like a free phone that actually wasn't free.
Ooh, yeah. I hate that, like the classic bait and switch.
Totally classic.
So tell me more about like who fell for this deal.
Yeah, so the people at the center of this are Vincent and Liza Conception.
Okay.
They signed up with AT&T back in 2002 and got lured in by the promise of free phones.
Yeah.
But then they ended up getting hit with this unexpected sales tax bill,
Oh no.
which they said was, misleading.
Yeah, totally.
Now you might think like, okay, a sales tax dispute, that's not really a big deal. But this case ended up having like huge E implications for consumer rights across the board.
So, like, how did something so small end up going all the way to the Supreme Court?
Well, because the Conceptions weren't just looking for a refund on their sales tax.
Okay.
They actually wanted to file a class action lawsuit, banding together with other customers who they thought were also tricked by AT&T's advertising.
Makes sense.
And that's when things got really interesting, legally speaking.
So it's not even about the money, it's about the principle of it, and you know, that it could impact so many other people. What
Exactly.
was AT&T's defense? Did they just say, too bad, so sad you signed the contract?
Basically,
That's
yeah,
down mine.
like buried in the fine print of their contract was this clause that said any disputes had to be settled through individual arbitration and no class actions allowed.
Whoa, okay, hold on. What is arbitration exactly? And why is it such a big deal in this case?
Good questions.
Yeah.
So think of arbitration as like an alternative to going to court. You agree to have someone neutral, a third party called an arbitrator, hear your case and make a decision.
Okay.
And it's often presented as being faster and less formal than a normal lawsuit.
Yeah, so for the company, it's probably like way quicker and cheaper.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For real. But what about for the customer? Like, what are the downsides?
That's a great point, and that's
Yeah.
kind of where things get sticky.
Yeah.
The Conception said that this forced arbitration clause was basically taking away their right to a fair fight.
Yeah.
How could they, as just individuals, take on a huge corporation like AT&T in this like one-on-one setting?
Right. It's like David and Goliath, but with legal contracts instead of slingshots.
Perfect analogy.
So how did this clash of individual rights versus corporate power actually play out in court?
Well, this is where a key legal concept called preemption comes in. It
Okay.
means that federal law can sometimes override state law.
Okay.
And in this case, the question was whether the Federal Arbitration Act, or FAA, which generally likes to enforce these agreements, would overpower California's consumer protection rules that were trying to protect class action rights.
Okay, so we have this tension between federal law pushing arbitration
Yeah.
and state law trying to protect consumers.
Exactly.
Where did the arguments land on this?
Unsurprisingly, AT&T really leaned hard on the FAA.
Yeah, figures.
Their main argument was that arbitration is meant to be a simple and efficient way to deal with disputes,
Right.
and they said that allowing class actions would mess that up by adding like tons of complexity and cost and formality.
Logistically, I get it. Like managing a class action with potentially thousands of people does sound like a nightmare.
Totally.
Yeah.
AT&T even argued that class actions basically turn arbitration into a regular lawsuit,
Right.
which they said totally defeats the purpose of choosing arbitration in the first place.
That's a good point, but like, doesn't that completely ignore the whole power imbalance thing?
Yeah, that's a big issue.
If people can't team up in a class action, how can they actually hold a huge corporation accountable?
Well, and that's exactly what consumer advocates were saying.
Yeah.
They were like, if you ban class actions, especially in cases involving small amounts of money, you're basically leaving people with no options.
It's true.
They pointed to something called California's Discover Bank Rule
Oh,
as
yeah.
like a way the state had tried to protect consumers in this exact situation.
Okay, so what's the deal with this Discover Bank rule? How did it try to level the playing field?
So the Discover Bank Rule was a big part of California law
Oh.
that basically said that for certain types of contracts, these class action waivers are basically unconscionable.
Okay.
Like, so one-sided and unfair that they shouldn't be enforced.
Yeah.
The goal was to stop situations where a company could get away with harming a lot of people in small ways,
right,
knowing that no one person would have enough at stake to sue on their own.
That makes sense. It sounds like a pretty reasonable way to protect people from being taken advantage of.
Exactly.
But it obviously clashed with what AT&T wanted with this whole individual arbitration thing.
Mm-hmm. Totally a head-on collision.
So how did the Supreme Court, like, untangle this whole legal mess? What happened?
So you have this corporate efficiency on one side
and
consumer protection on the other.
Right.
And in a 5-for-4 decision, the Supreme Court ended up siding with AT&T.
Oh, wow.
They said that the FAA overrules California's Discover Bank rule.
So a win for AT&T and probably corporations everywhere.
Yeah, it definitely made things easier for companies that use these types of clauses in their contracts.
Mm.
The majority opinion was written by Justice Scalia.
Okay.
And he really focused on the idea that if people agree to arbitration, then courts should just enforce those agreements as they're written.
No matter what.
Pretty much.
Did Justice Scalia say anything, like, particularly memorable about why he thought class actions and arbitration were like oil and water?
He did. He wrote, "Class arbitration sacrifices the principal advantage of arbitration, its informality, and makes the process slower, more costly, and more likely to generate procedural morass than final judgment."
So basically he's saying that allowing class actions would turn arbitration into this big, long legal battle, which defeats the purpose of choosing it in the first place.
Exactly.
But wait, that was a dissenting opinion, right? Like, what did the justices who disagreed have to say?
Oh, yeah. There was a strong dissenting opinion.
Okay.
And it really gets to the heart of some, like, fundamental issues about fairness and access to justice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the dissent was written by Justice Breyer.
Okay.
And he argued that California's Discover Bank rule wasn't trying to, like, undermine the FAA or anything.
Okay.
It was just applying a basic principle of contract law.
Okay, what's that?
That, like, totally unfair terms shouldn't be enforced.
Right.
You know?
So the dissent wasn't saying that class action should always be allowed.
Right.
But that states should have the power to protect consumers from being taken advantage of by these kinds of clauses.
Exactly.
Even if it's, like, part of an arbitration agreement.
Exactly. Justice Breyer also disagreed with the majority's claim that class arbitration is automatically inefficient and a burden.
Okay.
He said there wasn't any real proof to back up that idea.
Interesting. So he's saying the majority was just, like, assuming things about the downsides of class arbitration without any data.
Pretty much. And he also questioned whether companies would really be discouraged from using arbitration.
Right.
Just because they might have to deal with a class action in some cases.
Yeah.
It was almost like he was suggesting the majority was being a little too friendly to corporations.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So we have this, like, split decision
mm-hmm.
with good arguments on both sides.
Definitely.
But ultimately, the majority ruled in favor of AT&T.
Right.
What about the other justices? Did any of them have a different take on this whole thing?
Yeah. Actually, there's another opinion worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Justice Thomas wrote a concurring opinion.
Okay. Remind me what a concurring opinion is again.
Oh, it just means that he agreed with the outcome.
Yeah.
That the California law should be struck down.
Mm-hmm.
But he had his own reasons for getting there.
So he agreed with the majority that the Discover Bank rule was no good.
Right.
But for a different reason.
Yeah.
What was his reasoning?
He was really focused on this concept of contract formation.
Okay.
He argued that, like, the only valid reasons to throw out an arbitration agreement should be those traditional contract offenses.
Like what?
Like fraud.
Or duress.
So basically, like, if someone was tricked or forced into signing the agreement.
Exactly. And he felt like the California Discover Bank rule went too far.
Uh-huh.
Because it wasn't really about a problem with the contract itself.
Yeah.
It was more about trying to, like, impose a policy preference on mm-hmm. top of an agreement that was already valid.
Okay, so even though Scalia and Thomas got to the same conclusion, they took different routes to get there.
Exactly. That's what makes legal interpretation so interesting and complex.
Right.
You can have multiple justices agreeing on the outcome,
but getting there through completely different lines of reasoning.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But let's, like, zoom out for a sec.
Sure.
Did the Conception case just apply to that one dispute with AT&T?
No, not at all.
Or did it have, like, broader impact?
Oh, yeah. It had major ripple effects across the legal world.
Okay.
Conception has been cited in tons of other cases about arbitration and class action waivers.
Okay.
It's become, like, a cornerstone of what some people call a pro-arbitration trend in the courts.
Can you give me an example of like how that played out in another case?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
In 2018, the Supreme Court decided another landmark case.
Okay.
Epic Systems Corp v. Lewis.
Okay.
This one dealt with class action waivers in employment contracts.
Got it.
And the court, again, by a 5-4 vote, really relied on the reasoning from conception to uphold those waivers.
So even though conception was about a consumer contract, they applied the logic to employment too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's huge. Yeah,
it is. The court basically said that if Congress, when they passed the FAA, didn't specifically say that class action should be treated differently,
right,
then the courts shouldn't create that exception.
All right.
They were doubling down on the idea that arbitration agreements should be enforced as written, even if that means limiting people's ability to join together in a class action.
So this is way bigger than just some technical legal debate.
Oh, definitely.
This has real-world implications for anyone who signs a contract with an arbitration clause.
Absolutely.
Which is like most of us these days.
Pretty much everyone. Yeah.
Hey, crazy.
It's a reminder that those like boring clauses can have a huge impact on your rights.
Yeah.
If a dispute comes up. Especially since, let's be real, most people just click agree without even reading those terms and conditions.
I'm so guilty of that.
We all are.
Yeah.
But conception and these later cases show us that we should probably be paying more attention.
Yeah, for sure. So for those of us who aren't legal experts, what's the main takeaway?
I think the most important thing is to understand that by agreeing to individual arbitration, you're giving up your right to be part of a class action lawsuit.
Okay.
It means if you have a problem with a company, you're on your own.
And even if you think, oh, I'll never have a problem with this company,
right,
or it's just a small thing, not a big deal.
Yeah.
Things change.
Definitely.
And you might end up needing some legal help and wishing you'd paid more attention to that arbitration clause.
Exactly. It's all about knowing your rights and making informed choices.
Right.
And for those who work with contracts,
yeah,
I think conception is a stark reminder of how important it is to write those arbitration clauses carefully,
yeah,
and to really understand the potential consequences.
Totally. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
From a free phone to the Supreme Court and its impact on everything.
It's a big one.
But there's one more thing we need to talk about. The impact on consumers and their ability to hold companies accountable.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about this whole AT&T versus conception thing.
Yeah.
And how it like changed the game for arbitration and these class action waivers.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get down to brass tacks. Like, what does it actually mean for us regular consumers?
Right.
Does this make it harder to hold companies accountable when they screw up?
That's the big question, isn't it? Conception really opens up this whole can of worms.
Yeah.
About fairness and access to justice.
Right.
Like, on one hand, you have this principle of freedom of contract.
Okay.
The idea that people and companies should be able to agree to terms that work for them.
Yeah.
And the courts should generally enforce those agreements.
Right. So there's this idea that contracts are sacred.
Exactly.
Like people should be held to the deals they make.
Exactly. But on the other hand,
okay,
there's this growing worry that this focus on enforcing arbitration agreements,
yeah,
especially the ones that ban class actions, can create a system that's totally rigged against the average person.
I could see that we already talked about the power imbalance between a single person,
all right,
and a huge corporation.
Exactly.
It's not really a fair fight, is it?
And that's the main criticism.
Yeah.
Like, if a company knows that consumers can't team up and file a class action,
right,
are they going to take those smaller claims seriously?
Right. Like, if the worst that could happen is a few individual arbitrations,
yeah,
that might just be a cost of doing business for them.
Exactly.
So it's almost like there's this incentive for companies to do shady stuff.
Yeah.
Because they know the risk of a real legal challenge is low.
That's the fear.
Yeah.
People who criticize conception and this whole trend of enforcing these waivers, they argue that it gives corporations way too much power.
Right.
And leaves consumers with almost no options when they've been wronged.
Has this happened in the real world?
Oh, yeah.
Are there examples of companies using these clauses to avoid being held responsible?
Definitely. We've seen cases about everything from wage theft,
oh, wow,
to data breaches where people have said these arbitration clauses block them from seeking justice as a group.
So what started as this fight over a free phone,
right,
has become this much bigger conversation about fairness,
mm-hmm,
and accountability.
Yes.
And the role of the legal system in protecting everyday people.
You got it.
And it raises some like uncomfortable questions we all need to think about.
For sure.
Not just as consumers, but as citizens, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, do we want a system where corporations have this much power
yeah.
to decide how disputes are settled?
Right.
And potentially limit our ability to challenge them?
It's a big question.
It goes beyond just this one case rate.
Definitely.
It's about the balance of power between individuals and corporations.
Exactly.
And how we make sure everyone has real access to justice.
That's the core of it.
And these legal decisions,
yeah.
they have a ripple effect on all of us.
They do.
They shape how we deal with companies,
uh-huh.
how we protect ourselves,
yeah.
and ultimately how justice is served.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into AT&T versus Conception,
yeah.
we're left with a lot to think about.
For sure.
It's a reminder that those terms and conditions
right.
that we usually just ignore
totally.
Can really affect our lives.
They can.
Next time you're about to click agree,
yeah.
take a second.
Take a breath.
And ask yourself,
yeah.
are you signing away more than you realize?
It's a good question to ask.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.